T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hour number 2, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. I was a little disappointed we didn't get any Joe Buck voices last night.
I think Fox probably told him, listen.
Hey, enough with the entertaining
Just
stuff.
Just call the game, would you, pal?
We got entertainment shows. You're making look bad here. So.
Yeah, Smoltz had a few more Smoltz-isms last night. I don't remember off the top of my head, but he was, it's not great. It really isn't.
Now, maybe he's wicked getting, smart.
I think we're just spoiled because we hear Dennis Eckersley, not for 162, but for a bunch
not
of games.
Enough.
Not nearly enough.
And Remy, when he's there, is great.
So you have those guys, or when they do three-man booth, that was the best stuff going. And then you swap that out for Ron Darling and John Smoltz. It leaves you a little something to be desired.
But hey, band of merry funsters on the pre and post, though.
Oh, those guys like to cut up, don't they? They like to have a little bit of fun.
Like, A-Rod, will you stop grabbing David Ortiz's ass, please?
They told him that what they did was they forced them to watch Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith for hours and hours.
See this right here?
Do this. Do exactly what they're doing. And then they kind of go overboard at times. It's not the same. It's fine. It's okay. It's not my favorite pregame show either.
So now we're trying to figure out if there's anything besides the power of our voice that can derail the Red Sox Express here. Because some people think, hey, you're going to jinx them if you say that.
You won't.
People who think that I could have an effect on a no-hitter or something.
They are significantly better than the L.A. Dodgers. That's what it's come to. And I know last night it was a close game. It's not like they're beating them by 10 runs every time. But I like the pitching matchups. I like the lineups better. Even in the National League Park, they'll figure it out. You know, they'll take out Jackie Bradley Jr. most likely. The lineup will still be really good. Yeah, you'll have the catcher and the pitcher, but guess what? So does the Dodgers, and their top five or top six isn't as good as the Red Sox top five or six. And the bullpen is clicking right now. It'd be hard to imagine not only them losing the series, but them even coming back to Fenway. I mean, this thing is going to be Sweep City, and we'll be celebrating on Saturday.
I'm going to call it the Gentleman's Sweep now.
Oh, you think L.A., they give them one?
They'll find a way to win a game in Los Angeles.
I got to be honest.
The way Ryu was throwing last night, I thought, uh-oh.
Yeah, he looked pretty good. I don't know if Walker Buehler will do that, though.
I don't think Walker Buehler is necessarily the guy.
I don't see it. And they've actually, over the course of the year, now they've faced a lot of lefties in the postseason, you know, with Dallas Keuchel and Sabathia and Kershaw, and they've been able to hit those guys. But during the regular season, they were even better against righties, and that's what Walker Buehler is. So I can't imagine he goes out there and throws a gem. And then at that point, down 3-0, I mean, the Dodgers, now it won't be as cold. It did seem like they were kind of checking out. Like, they were so miserable. The cold was affecting them so much.
And they've complained about it.
Oh, they're talking about it. I mean, they're a mess. They're kind of a soft team, I would say.
Well, at least.
California team.
Yeah, that's it. They're a California team. My daughter lives in California now.
And she's like, oh, it's cold. Well, like, it's 70 degrees.
She's coming home for a long weekend, coming home. And I'm sure they're going to complain and whine about how cold it is here.
Correct.
That's what they do.
That's what you do. You move out of New England, then you start complaining about New England weather. Everybody does it.
617-779-7937. Eddie's on the cell phone. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, that's really funny. Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey, good.
I moved back from Florida, and I'm really glad to be back here.
Good. Good to have you back.
Hey, let me tell you, Kimbrel, a week ago, I wanted somebody to take this guy for a ride and not bring him back.
Well, that seems a little aggressive.
and it's absolutely amazing how he's just turned it around. And I'll tell you, when you first hear he's tipping pitches, it's like, okay, well, he's a little bit wild. But it's just amazing how his confidence has come back. I mean, he just looked like he owned that mound out there. And he looked really confident last night. And he's restored my faith in him. He really has. And I don't know how anybody can't feel good about him with the performance he had last night.
Yeah, the last two performances.
Back to back.
Stick him out there in the ninth inning. I feel great right now.
Even the one in Houston, the last one in Houston.
He
walked a guy. He gave up a warning track shot. So it wasn't as dominant, but he had two strikeouts in the inning, only faced four guys. So I felt a little bit better about that one. In the Dodgers series, He's faced six total batters. He's gotten them all. A couple of strikeouts in there. So he has been a whole lot better. The way the series was going, he was getting the way the playoffs were going, he was getting the saves, but you were terrified. You're like, when did all of a sudden you get a closer where I think half the league deals with this, where they go in there and you're right. Like, oh God, like this guy, they're going to let the first guy on base and then you're in trouble. But no, he's looked pretty untouchable the last two nights.
Rob's out in San Diego. Hey, Rob, speaking of California.
What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for taking the call.
No problem.
So the optics of this team is amazing. And for someone that's been watching the Red Sox and been a fan for a long time, you can tell this isn't a team that's just playing baseball at the moment. You can tell this is a family that happens to be playing baseball at the same time. I'll give you some examples. From the dinner that everybody showed up to, that we heard about, not one person was missing. Then you have the locker room prayer for Craig Kimbrell's daughter. And then, I've heard on one of the postseason games, someone said that, I love every single one of those guys in that locker room. And then if you think about it, without that solid kind of a family, atmosphere, JBJ and Price don't get through that wall and they don't do what they did in this postseason. It wouldn't have happened if they hadn't been carried by their guys in this. It is a family. You can tell. I mean, you can just look at them and you can tell.
Well, and then, sometimes I wonder about the chicken and egg thing. You're winning 68% of your games. Chances are you like everybody. But, you think about a guy like Nunez. He comes to the ballpark for game one thinking he's going to play. And the manager says, hey, listen, I know normally you would be playing against this guy, but I'm going to play Devers. And he could get pissed off. Instead, he gets an opportunity to pinch hit, hits the big three-run home run.
Right, right.
So even though he was probably disappointed he didn't get to play, he didn't get the start, he thinks I'm still contributing here.
But I think a big part of that, too, in talking about the relationships, is that's such a big job for the manager.
And it's almost the primary thing.
Yeah, it really is. And you look at this roster compared to last year's roster, pretty damn similar, right? J.D. Martinez is a big addition.
Gigantic.
But look at the rest of the lineup. Look at the rest of the rotation. Look at a lot of the guys in the bullpen. I know Evaldi's new, and they made some acquisitions like Ian Kinsler, Steve Pierce during the season. But they began the year with really the same team. And that's what everybody was wondering. Like, oh, my God, like they added one guy. Is how different is it going to be? But the difference between Alex Cora and John Farrell for this team seems pretty significant. They're all buying in.
And it seems that was the case really from day one. One of the things that players on this team talked about is once Alex Cora got the job, he started, connecting with these guys. He flew to visit with guys. Other guys met with him wherever they happened to be. And it was like it was an important part of what he was going to do here. Now, look, if they were, if they had a record like the Baltimore Orioles, they probably wouldn't be a family.
No. But I also think I think skill is more important than chemistry. It is. Now, the 2013 team, I think chemistry was a huge part of that. But they also had
it was
David
like
Ortiz.
A magical sort
that
of
was.
Thing.
That's kind of, that's rare. Yeah. That's much more rare. But if you're able to combine the two, that's what I feel like you have with this team. Like, you do have a very talented group. You have multiple All-Stars. You have the MVP. And they also happen to have really good team chemistry, well, then that kind of maybe even puts you over the top.
Which is how you go out and win 108 games.
Right. That's exactly right.
Mike's on the truck phone. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Great.
Hey, before I get to my point real quick, I don't know if you guys mentioned this. I had to hop out of my truck for a couple of minutes. But how about the real unsung hero of that 0-4 run, Derek Lowe?
Yeah, it's a good
point.
He
should have been out there. Should have been throwing sinkers out there.
He won the clinching game of all three of those series.
Right. He did.
Right.
So... Well, the reason why I called is for my point was Dave Roberts seems to be coaching scared. Like, he knows that they're outmatched. Again, you guys made the point earlier that, how much better the American League is than the National League. And he seems to be coaching scared. I mean, if you look last night, he used four second basemen last night.
Yeah, he's moving guys all around. And going to Ryan Madsen was not a good idea.
He had used all his bench players by the seventh inning.
Yeah.
I got nobody left. Yeah. What?
Cora keeps like three of them ready to go in case of extra innings or something happening.
Cora didn't empty the bench at all last night except for
Moreland
when he came in the seventh inning and had the one at bat.
Right.
Now, do you think part of that, though, could be that Dave Roberts knows his team isn't as good as the guys in the other dugout? He has to do more. He has to push every button to give his team a chance.
Well, I do, you know, think there is something to do with that. But if you look at that Dodgers lineup, the only person in that lineup at all, and I know they had a great year. They left 109 home runs on the bench to start the first two games. The only guy on that team that scares me at all at any point is Machado.
Yeah.
And whether it's because he's a dirty player or if you look at his bat, I mean, he's crushed Red Sox pitching throughout his career. And he's the only one on the team. I mean, Justin Turner is supposed to be this, what's his name there from Game of Thrones there with the big red beard.
Tormund.
Tormund
Giantsbane. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, he's supposed to be this, you know, this hot bat, and he hasn't done anything in the series. Nobody in that lineup has done anything in that series except for Machado. I mean, you look, they scored four runs the other night, and he has three of the RBIs, and Kemp, you know, launched one. But, I mean, other than that, nobody in that lineup scares me, you know, and shouldn't scare anybody. And, I mean, if you look at what Cora's doing, again, I know you guys have kind of beaten this to death, but, I mean, everything he touched turns to gold. And
I mean, every single button he's pushed, every decision he's made. If you were the Red Sox ownership and management here, you got to be saying, this couldn't have gone better.
No.
We couldn't have made a better decision than this
no,
guy.
No, it really couldn't have. And then even all the so Cora's obviously worked out, but even for Dombrowski, all of his guys, look how important Eovaldi, even Kinsler. I know Kinsler hasn't been perfect, but solidifies second base,
part.
Big hit last night, so he's been very good. And then Steve Pierce has been fantastic.
617-779-7937. We'll talk to Peter King in just a few minutes. We'll get back to your calls as well. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Non-stop, wall-to-wall coverage of the Patriots. We're back with Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Time for our regular weekly visit with Peter King from Football Night in America. Peter's brought to you by Verizon Fios, Shaw's, and Star Market, and by Always Health Partners. Peter joins us on the line right now. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great, thank you. We had an interesting philosophical discussion here yesterday. I want you to weigh in. Assuming the Red Sox get two more wins, assuming that, what's a more impressive feat? Winning four World Series titles in a 14-year period with a variety of managers and stars, or winning five Super Bowl titles in a 17-year period with Brady and Belichick the focal point for all of them?
That is one of the classic 51-49 arguments that I've ever heard in my life, or one of the debates that I could go fall down on either side, because I would want to say baseball. Because you're doing it with so many different characters every time. I mean, there isn't one single common thread other than ownership, right? And I other than ownership and ballpark and city, you know, which are those are huge common threads, obviously. But I think because in baseball, you're able to you can be better than Tampa Bay. I mean, if you're not better than Tampa Bay, it's really your fault, you know,
right?
Because you're able to buy J.D. Martinez, and Tampa Bay, I suppose they would be able to pay him $25 million a year, but I mean, would he even go there? And so I think I would say football, and the reason I would say football is because we are seeing things with this Patriots franchise that have never happened in the history of football. I think I've said it to you guys before, but, you know, I think if you ask the average, absolutely, totally average pro football fan, think of an owner, coach, and quarterback that you would consider to be, if you're going to have a discussion, who has to be in the discussion for the best owner, coach, quarterback of all time? There's no question in my mind that the common denominator there, at least until very recently, would have been DeBartolo, Walsh, Montana. Well, they did it for 10 years. They were together for 10 years. You know, Kraft, Belichick, Brady have been together for 18, you know, as considering starting teams. I mean, 19 considering how long it's been since they drafted Brady. But I just think how unprecedented that is. I would choose the football version to be able to keep that together for so long in an era of, hey, look at me, give me the credit, give me the money. I think it's absolutely extraordinary. I think we could all live to be 150, and we're not going to see this again.
I was going to say, I agree with you, too. I think football is more impressive. And isn't it set up where you're not supposed to be good every year? Like, you see teams make the Super Bowl, then miss the playoffs. Or we've seen teams finish dead last in their division and then win the division the very next year. And then you have the Patriots as kind of that outlier. And, yeah, there are some other competitive teams, but they're the ones that are making the playoffs every single year and making the Super Bowl about half the time they get into the playoffs.
Well, the crazier thing is that, let's say you're 25 years old and you live in New England. Well, you know, there's only been and let's say you start to realize what football is when you're 6 or 7 years old. Well, you quite literally have never in your life, only twice in your conscious life as a fan, have the Patriots not won the division. You know, I mean, it's right. It's lunacy.
And they had the best record both of those years, which was they just didn't have the tiebreaker.
Yeah, yeah, they lost on a tiebreaker both times. And so I guess in you know, to what you're saying, Rich, in my opinion, I just think that even though you could say it's what's unprecedented for the Red Sox is that they were a different team every time, which I have tremendous respect for, tremendous. I would also just make the point, I think it's almost harder to try to keep your absolute core people, and not only that, core people, but your core principles together. And I would bet that if you ask guys in the locker room in 2001 and you ask guys in the locker room in 2018 to describe the experience, Bill Belichick is not going to be very much different, even with 5 rings, now versus 0 in October of 2001.
But with all due respect and apologies to Carl Yastrzemski in 1967, one player, in this case Tom Brady, can have more of an impact on one franchise's success or failure than any single player can in baseball.
Absolutely right. But I would also say this, Dale, we have never seen we probably could come up with a nit to pick here, like with Brett Favre, because I don't remember the year that he had his first really good year in Green Bay. I'm going to guess he was 25, and his last good year in the NFL he had when he was 40. So, and I'd have to look at Warren Moon also, but to look at the length of time, you know, to win an MVP at 40, you know, basically be the most important person on your Super Bowl team in 2001, and then to win the MVP 17 years later, that's a fifth of NFL history, or whatever, a sixth of NFL history. I just don't think we're ever going to see it again.
Patrick Peterson looks like he could be on the move. Where do you think it makes sense for him to land?
I think it makes sense for him to land in New England, but I don't think he's going to get traded. Just my gut feeling. I think he would like to get traded regardless of what he says, but I think the Cardinals have to be very careful. When you hit rock bottom as a franchise, it's just like I think Oakland needs to be very careful about Derek Carr right now. When you're hitting rock bottom and you tell your fans we're trading our best player, that's pretty tough, because even if you get a one for your best player, Patrick Peterson's going to play like a top five NFL corner, unless he's hurt, for the next 4 or 5 years. And so how is that equitable if the New England Patriots would give you the 30th pick in the draft or whatever it would be? It's not equitable, in my opinion, and so just my gut feeling. I don't think he's going to go.
Why the hell would the New York Giants keep playing Eli Manning at quarterback? Because they're obviously in full-blown blow-it-up mode.
Right. Well, I said the same thing last year when Ben McAdoo was the only adult in the room, and he's getting pilloried by every guy who's ever worn the Giants uniform. And everybody is being selfish. you know, sentimentality does not win anything in football. And Dale, you're absolutely right. They have got to get Kyle Lauletta to play to see what they have in him, the same way that they should have gotten Davis Webb ready to play so they could have seen him in December last year. But they didn't. And that's what a losing franchise does. You keep putting a guy out there because he's a trophy. Well, the trophy has got about 15 dents in it right now. And the Giants are paying for the sins of Jerry Reese. You know, they've drafted so poorly. In the span of 2 weeks, they get rid of their first-round picks from 15 and 16 in Eric Flowers and Eli Apple. This is a team that has been a disaster in player acquisition over the last 6 or 8 years, other than the year they got Beckham.
How is the Le'Veon Bell situation going to end, do you think?
I wish I knew.
Yeah.
Nothing makes sense. Nothing at all makes sense. And I think the problem here is that I talked to a team last weekend that is very interested in Le'Veon Bell. I'll just say that. And this team basically said there's one gigantic stumbling block in, you know, us paying whatever we would have to pay to get him. And they really would like to have Le'Veon Bell. But there's one gigantic stumbling block, and that is the fact that, okay, so you can't sign him this year. He's got to play out this franchise tender. And then, you know, you hope to sign him when the new league year starts in 2019. But the problem with that is he has basically put everybody on notice and said, I want to break the bank at running back. So, in other words, he's almost certainly not going to cooperate with you after the season and give you any sort of, not even a hometown discount, but not want to go and see what the market will bear. So you're either going to have to pay him $20 million a year or, say, 15, 20% higher than any running back ever. You're either going to have to do that or you're going to have to franchise him in 2019. So, and then you're in the same idiotic merry-go-round as the Steelers have experienced this year. If he gets traded, which would surprise me, some team is going to have to take a gigantic leap of faith that they're going to be able to sign him next March.
Why did NFL owners finally get the courage to do what they should have done all along, which was ignore the national anthem issue?
Well, because I think they realized in ignoring it this offseason and coming into this year that it basically has disappeared as an issue. And there's only three players last weekend who demonstrated in any way at NFL games. And I think the NFL basically said, okay, we're going to have three guys who are going to be outliers, and the rest of them we're just not going to show. The networks are not going to show the anthem. They're not going to scan the sidelines so that there can be a screenshot for people to say, I hate the NFL, look at this guy kneeling. And, I think they did the smart thing now in doing that, but I also think that they clearly could have and should have stood up to Donald Trump last year more than they did in basically allowing him to run roughshod over the NFL. Now, you know, the NFL would say now it's a good decision because it's a dead issue. I mean, it might be a dead issue, but nobody has any idea if or when, you know, Trump is going to start tweeting about it again. So, in my opinion, it looks good now, but I don't necessarily think that it's over.
Will there be another baseball game at Fenway Park in 2018?
You know, Dale, I don't know. I mean, baseball's so hard to predict. I still can't believe the Red Sox are 14-2 in 4 World Series. How does that happen? I mean, I think this is a darn good team, but man, I don't know. I watched the Dodgers in that series against Milwaukee. I thought they were good too. My gut feeling is no, but nothing would surprise me if they had to come home with a 3-2 lead.
That will surprise me.
It will.
Yeah, it will. The way things are going.
But let me ask you this. You know, I read Alex Speer late last night after the game, and he had a great point. And that is that on the J.D. Martinez 2-run single, that Yasiel Puig was playing 19 feet behind where I forget what it was, where the average right fielder played against J.D. Martinez during the year. He also, I thought, if he dove for the Christian Vasquez hit, he might have had that. But this is just my opinion, Dale. This is a team that really did not go to school on Fenway Park very well. You know what I mean? They didn't really study Fenway. And I realize they had weather issues on Monday. I get it. But this is a team that obviously is playing, and most of them are playing in Fenway for the first time, and boy, does it look like it.
Peter, we always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Peter.
Peter King, Football Night in America, and Football Morning in America as well.
That's right.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Noon 30 coming up. Well, you probably figured out when.
Right around noon
30. Yeah, right in that ballpark. Yeah. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
It's Middays with Dale and Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
.617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line 37937. So do you think the Dodgers will suddenly hit that California sunshine and go, oh, okay.
They were upset about the weather. They were very upset about the weather, so that'll help. No, but I think, and Peter mentioned it too when we were talking with him, the outfielders just didn't really know what they were doing. They were lined up in bad spots. They didn't know how to play
the ball.
And just, they did have cards, but they were standing, you know, Yasiel Puig standing on the warning track. It's like, you know, if the ball goes over your head, it's
probably
gone.
Just hit there.
Take a couple steps in. So maybe the cards only tell you left or right. They don't say, like, how close to the infield or
how
close to the
fence. Makes
you
wonder about the whole pre-scouting thing, doesn't
it? Not going well.
I mean, every team who's at this stage of the postseason probably has this voluminous binder full of everything you'll ever need to know. That's why they have multiple sets of cards for the outfielders and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. You would think that it would be a simple process of, okay, when you get to Fenway, this is what you're going to do.
You know,
Dave Roberts has played here, for crying out loud.
He has. He has played in that very outfield, and apparently he hasn't shared any of the wisdom with his guys because they're
lost. Some of this stuff to myself here, boys.
They're completely confused. The one thing I do like is when they show the chart when a guy is up at the plate and they show you the percentage of hits to the infield.
And they show exactly where the Red Sox infielders are positioned.
So that makes sense.
Like, exactly in those spots.
And I guess they do the same with the outfield, but the infield, you just see it happen all the time where a guy gets hit exactly where they're standing because that's what they've done. They've done all the research on it. But I still don't know why you would play so deep on Martinez. Like, that was the one thing, and I know I'm bringing back Manny Ramirez. He was no Gold Glove left fielder, but he was pretty effective at Fenway. He would play so shallow and take away some of those hits because he knew if the ball is a screamer over his head, he's just going to have to turn, field it off the wall, and throw it in. You see a lot of guys, a lot of visitors. Like, there was one play last night that maybe they could have had a play, but they hadn't experienced the wall before, so they backed way off, but he actually probably could have caught it on the track.
Right.
Instead, it hits the wall and rolls, and so those guys, they will be better in L.A. There's no doubt. I don't know if it'll be the difference, though, in them winning or losing the game.
I will guarantee you, though, that before they go out on the field in Los Angeles tomorrow night, Red Sox outfielders will have a specific scouting report. For this guy, this is where you'll play.
Oh, yeah.
For that guy, this is where you'll play.
Well, and their field's boring. It is. It's just a field. Like, it's not like even Houston, that's some sort of different, you know, the fence, the little miniature green monster, and then the way it shoots out in center field. Like, that's a different layout. This just looks like boring park, like generic park one. Like, if you're creating a ballpark, that the Dodger Stadium is not that exciting. So the outfielder, like, it's big. The outfield, there's a lot of ground to cover, but great. The Red Sox have three. Now, I guess if Martinez is out there, they have two elite defenders and then one average defender. But Mookie Betts can cover a ton of ground, and I think they'll be just fine. You don't have to freak out and be like, oh, what are the dimensions here? Like, it's not like Fenway Park.
No, and
like, that's drastically different. Like, a center fielder, like, all of a sudden in left field, it's super shallow. If he runs over to right center, now all of a sudden you're back by the doorway and you're trying to figure out where the ball is. Like, it can be a little tricky if you're not used to it.
If the Red Sox do finish this thing off, if they win two more games
and win the
World Series title, does the criticism of Dave Dombrowski then disappear? He traded away all of his prospects. I mean, what? There's nothing left on the farm.
There hasn't been a ton of that because the guys he has acquired have been really good. And
well, not just this year, but since he got here.
He's traded a million guys.
He's whipping guys out and bringing.
But the truth is, and a lot of times I think it gets overlooked. Like, it's really, if the prospect is rated really high, then that's his value. And that maybe you can get more for it. Again, like, you go back to Anderson Espinosa for Drew Pomeranz. That was one where you said, well, this was the highest rated pitching prospect in your system, and he was a top 20 prospect of baseball, and you flipped him for Drew Pomeranz. So that raised some eyebrows, but then Pomeranz pitched well last year. And then Espinosa has had, like, Tommy John or whatever it is. Like, he's a mess. So those trades hurt worse when you see Jeff Bagwell develop into a Hall of Famer and you got Larry Anderson for him. Whereas Yoan Moncada hasn't done much. Manuel Margot hasn't done a whole lot. Anderson Espinosa has been hurt. Whoever the other guys you want to throw out there. I mean, Jalen Beeks wasn't really much of anything.
At least was pitching in the major leagues at the end of the year.
I think the key is when you have, there was a time where it could have easily been Benintendi in a trade, right? It was Moncada,
Benintendi. We thought it was going to be.
We said, you know, keep one of those guys if you can, but it's a toss-up. Well, so far, Benintendi has been the far better major leaguer, and so you made the right call, sending Moncada out and bringing in Chris Sale.
617-779-7937. Mark's in New Hampshire. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thank you.
Sure.
Hey, Mark.
Listen, to Dale. Good morning, Keith, and good morning, Dale. Well, we've got 8 minutes before noontime. Anyway,
I
wanted to get back to the captain issue.
Okay.
Yes, big issue.
I totally agree with you. I mean, remember Captain Collier Skrimpke?
Sure.
He didn't have a C on his shirt.
No, he didn't.
He knew who he was.
But he commanded respect.
He knew who he was, and everybody else knew who he was, too, including me. You know, I'm not a kid, but...
Well.
Remember Gretzky and Yzerman?
Of course.
I mean, they had.
Well, wait. In hockey, you get to wear a C. In baseball, you don't.
Three of the best,
and
though.
You don't. That's correct. I totally agree with you, Dale. Right.
Thank you.
Chara, you
great,
know.
Great captain.
He's great.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
Paul Pierce?
Why not give him a C?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I just wanted to call and say I agree with you, Dale.
Thank you.
That was a plant.
I say we call him Matlock.
No, that's not fair. That guy has been a longtime fan, and he likes captains, Rossi. That's ridiculous.
But he thinks it's dumb to wear a C
right.
in baseball.
He wanted to call in and agree with Dale.
And what's wrong with that?
Doesn't happen very often.
No, let's be honest. It's kind of a new thing for us here.
No, does not need whatever that is again.
That's the caller agrees
Throw
with Dale.
Throw that out. No, it's not. Throw that one out.
You're trying so hard
really
to find some
one.
Reason.
There's no reason
to
for
actually
it.
Use that damn thing.
I kind of hate the horn. I kind of hate that.
It's
horn.
A siren.
Either way. See, I don't even know what it is.
Sounds like an air raid siren to me.
It is. Yeah, don't play that. It's very confusing.
The Luftwaffe is on their way into Boston right now. And
nobody knows what it is.
This thing.
Rossi, you don't even know what it is.
It's labeled here. I know what it is.
What does it say?
The Rossi horn.
It says, do not play the Rossi horn.
Yeah, I'm always curious how they label things in there.
I because think Rossi's curious,
well,
too.
Well, sometimes you'll say, Jason, can you play such and such? And he has this look on his face like, I don't know how to find
it. Yeah, it's not in here.
I don't know where that is.
Sometimes things are really quickly readily available.
Yes.
Other things
Other times
a
not.
Two-step process.
Sure. It's quite a thrill
maybe
back
Maybe
there.
You could put that in the two-step process pile.
No, that one's always ready.
Yeah, for some reason, that one's the only one.
Yeah.
The quick hitter
right in hand. I can find that thing any moment now.
It's a shortcut. It's like when you have like speed dial back in the day when you had to do speed dial for certain numbers.
That. Yeah.
Why on earth would you play that?
Over.
Nobody likes
it. Over and over.
Yeah.
Kenny's calling on the cell phone. Hey, Kenny.
Hey, what's up, Kenny? Hey,
hello.
Hey, I finally figured out it was driving me crazy why Drew Pomeranz was on the roster.
Oh, perfect. What do you got?
They're gonna pull in Milwaukee. They're gonna start him either the fourth or fifth game. And he's going to pitch to one batter. They're going to force the lineup, and then they're going to pull and put the regular starter in. That's the only reason why he can be on the roster.
I love it, Kenny. They're going to go a little Craig Counsell on him. What do you think of that, Dale? The old switcheroo.
The opener.
I think why else would he be on the roster?
Well, how about this, Kenny? Why couldn't they do that with Brian Johnson? And then if they actually had to use him, he's a better pitcher than Pomeranz or like Pointer or somebody.
Just have
Eduardo Rodriguez do the old switcheroo.
Maybe you could enjoy the game and stuff instead of getting obsessed with.
Yeah, that's true. He's more effective than Pomeranz.
Here's my question: will you see Drew Pomeranz throw a pitch in a game during the World Series?
No, you won't.
Poor Kenny. I didn't mean to
pull a life.
Bring him right to his knees there.
I think no. I also
because you won't have some 16-1 tilt like you did in the other series.
I don't think so. I also don't believe he is going to start because, well, no, because they're going to sweep. So Rick Porcello goes tomorrow. They win game three. And then Nathan Eovaldi, I believe, will still be able to come back in game four.
I know think he had the so, but is relief. It possible that, you know, they're so all in here.
But here, then the here, question here's, is...
You want to mess with Dave Roberts'
of
mind?
Of course I do.
Yes. Eduardo Rodriguez starts game four.
And then what?
And then Dave Roberts going, I got to do what with my lineup
so
again?
So he does all lefty lineup. No, but that, so the caller's point is you burn Pomerantz because you don't want to use him anyway. So you put a lefty out there and then you immediately bring in Eovaldi. Maybe you
so
do
that,
that.
So that he lists his lineup and now you've messed with him a batter into it.
Yeah.
You think they're going to buy? Dave Roberts going to go, oh.
Not again! We've been fooled not once, but twice. Yeah, I mean, that could happen, I guess. I just think if Eovaldi can go and if he's able to start, just start him. I don't think you need to overthink it and burn Drew. I wouldn't mind burning Drew Pomeranz. Go out there, face a batter, but that guy will probably smack a homer or a double off him, so that's not a good start.
See, I think you're going to see him.
Pomeranz?
Yes.
Like a blowout situation or
no,
start?
No. Okay. I think you're going to see him, you know, in a fifth inning. Sixth inning type of thing.
Well, hopefully they're up 10-0 or something.
I don't think it's gonna be that dramatic. Alex Cora told the guys on OMF his velocity is up.
Great.
Throwing the ball well.
Was that the problem?
He looks
Was that
good.
The only problem?
I mean,
he
I don't know.
Throwing hard
Fills
enough?
Out a uniform properly? Yeah, I don't great. Know.
He has major league experience. Like, okay. Now, they obviously, the Dodgers have a lot of guys that, you know, the splits are a little bit more drastic. Like they either can or can't hit lefties, righties, whatever. That's why their lineups are different. That's why Craig Counsell tried that Wade Miley switcheroo. So just like we saw Rodriguez go in and just pitch to Bellinger in game one, I guess you have that ability. So Pomerantz forced them to either, you know, use a pinch hitter or a lefty on lefty. Maybe you see Pomerantz. But again, I go back to, why him? Is he really the best guy to even if it's just one batter, give me somebody else. You have two other lefties that are just sitting at home.
Yeah, but neither of the other two were.
No, they're not great.
You're not going, oh, thank God they got him in there.
But Pointer is better than Pomeranz, and he's used to pitching out of the pen.
Matt's in Wilmington. Hey, Matt, how are you?
What's up, Dale?
Good. How are you?
I got a theory on Joe Kelly's flipping the switch here in the playoffs.
Okay.
First, I got to play the role of a Kirk Minahan. And you and Rob Bradford got some Twitter beef last night, some backhanded comments to each other. What's going on there?
I think he's obsessed with Joe Kelly because he gets Joe Kelly to spell out boom sauce.
Let me ask you this, Matt. Do you think every back and forth on Twitter is Twitter beef?
Is tweet beef?
But I think it is. I think Dale Arnold should shake the gloves a little bit and challenge him to a little throwdown there.
Why would I want to fight Rob
you
Bradford?
You
want
to fist fight Rob Bradford?
Yeah, why not?
Over Joe Kelly?
Yeah, I feel like there's bigger fish
That's
to fry.
That's a hot sports take.
He was taking shots at hockey there. I mean, you got to see the whole thing. I was reading. Right,
I didn't have any beef. He was taking hockey shots? And look, you're putting way more thought into this than I care about.
So I guess you can't respond to anybody anymore.
It's like, here's the deal, and this is
Don't
why,
you hate him? Don't you hate his guts?
No, I don't. Here's what I was mocking last night. He, as many of the writers do who are at Fenway.
Yeah.
When they're making a pitching change, the network is away at commercial break. So they'll say, Nathan Eovaldi's coming in. You'll know before the commercial
and
break
I say,
ends.
Thanks, Brad Foshow.
So when Rob Bradford was saying that Joe Kelly was coming in, he, of course, had to include a gif of Joe Kelly because he's a little obsessed with
Joe
Kelly.
Best bud. Yeah.
If he was saying Nathan Eovaldi's coming in, he wouldn't include a Nathan Eovaldi gif. That was the point I was making.
That's probably true.
That was it.
But you want to fight him, though.
I mean, I don't know. There were some choice words in there. So
really? What were the choice words?
Yeah, we had to censor all of it, didn't we?
I got it right here. Quote, Dale E. Arnold, quote, calm down, cupcake.
Yes.
To Bradfo.
Oh, he said cupcake?
Oh, my God.
I got to dump that. Whoa. That was aggressive, Dale.
That's a little slap right there.
That is. That's big time stuff.
Joe Kelly, I don't know if you guys heard, I think it was on Bradfo's podcast.
Probably.
If it was about Kelly, it was on Bradfo's podcast.
And it sounded
podcast.
Like this.
He said if he wasn't a pitcher, he'd want to be like an ATF or CIA agent or something like that, possibly with a gun in his face, and he thinks that he rises to the occasion in those kind of pressure situations.
Man, I don't care about this. What did Dale say again? Can you repeat that?
Yeah, he said, calm down, cupcake. He called Bradford.
No, it's not. It's not. It doesn't need the sounder.
We don't need to go with the Luftwaffe warning siren here.
where I come from, you call somebody a pastry.
Yeah, that's trouble.
I could have used cannoli. That probably would have been better, huh?
Would you guys? We're moving.
Or something else from Mike's Pastries that is tasty treat.
Oh, that's true. Call them a cannoli.
Something like that. Some tasty treat.
I say we move the tables out of here and let them fight in here. Only one guy leaves the studio.
One man leaves.
That's it. One guy. As long as it takes.
A lot of people are talking about this. I think it's good.
Just you guys.
A lot of people are talking about it. I saw Lucy put it up there.
And then one call. And then all of a sudden Jason says, don't put it up on there like that. He won't go to that call. Let's change it. That's exactly what he was saying. Oh, no, change it. He won't know if we put something else up. Say he wants to talk about Joe Kelly.
Joe Kelly.
Jason, in all fairness, he did want to. You are such a coward. I mean, honest to God, Rossi.
Call him a cupcake.
You're a cannoli. His last name's Rossi. I got to go with an Irish pastry.
Yeah, right. Careful. That's pretty good.
I'm an honest producer that's trying to get the best out of the show.
Who got Lucy to change what it said on the call screener because you're afraid I wouldn't take the call.
Dale, who do you hate more, Rossi or Bradford?
Right now, it's neck and neck.
Two great
rivals.
With
both of them.
Everybody hates everybody. That is
handicap
the theme.
Match. Me and Bradford versus
that is
Dale.
Definitely the theme here. When in doubt, just assume there's hatred here at the station.
That was my point.
Always.
I hate it. I hate going to work every day.
I am completely miserable. I hate it.
Well, Dale also tweeted at me last night to stop it.
Oh, he hates
with an
you.
Exclamation
oh, I was
point,
teasing
and I
Lucy.
Figure
yeah.
it out.
She was like, "Wait a minute. Does he hate me? What's happening right now?"
Well, and by the way, there was some thought that I was drunk tweeting last night.
Is that right?
That was a thought, yes.
Yeah, but
is that right? You're getting into it a little bit?
No, it's not true because I did find where Susan hid my phone and everything, so I couldn't have been that bad.
No, it wasn't. I was able to
find it and grab that thing, and away we went.
I would argue, what's the point of sober tweeting? What's the point?
Why? I mean,
what's the point?
You're in the comfort of your own home.
You're just sitting there minding your own business. No consequences. Say whatever you want.
This is why GIFs have gotten us in a lot of trouble.
I love GIFs. Well, GIFs, no, I stand by my GIF. I'm waiting for that next Josh Gordon touchdown, and I'll be right back at it.
Bradford puts a GIF out, starts a whole know what. Keefe, he's got people calling here.
If you
upset.
Can't stand the heat, get off of Twitter. That's what I say.
I just hate my job. I don't want to be here. I hate all the people here. I'm miserable.
Just picking fights left and right.
617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keith. No! Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.